off top.
JJ Redick might be the next coach for the Raptors. Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
What up, Charlie?
Welcome
to this very special show. YouTube audience gets a treat. Podcasters, you have to tune in and find out. What up, man? So JJ Redick's leaving us, maybe, potentially?
Apparently, I guess. I didn't know that the first J in JJ stood for Josh McCown, but learn something new every day.
No, it stands for Jeff Saturday.
Oh. Yeah,
that's the move.
Jeff Redick.
There it is. And so your name has to start with J and be on ESPN. So, I mean, coaching basketball is less challenging. So that's a jump that I think, I mean, we've seen players do it plenty of times.
Jason JJ Kidd.
Seems to be a knowledgeable basketball guy and generally pretty likable, which I think is probably the most important skill for NBA coaches. I don't know if it's being likable, but it's the interpersonal stuff. But anyway, right now, I would like to take this time to look back and then look forward on the NBA season. So I got a trivia question for you. I don't know if this qualifies as trivia, but who's the favorite to win the championship from this point right now in the NBA?
It's a dead heat with the Nuggets and the 76ers.
How did you know this?
I looked it up right before the show.
Are you a gambling addict?
No, not at all. I'm a total mush. Yeah. Anything I say is always wrong when it comes to gambling.
I've been trying to learn about gambling, but we'll figure it out. I also don't really want to learn about it, but I don't know. Maybe one of the big gambling companies will pay me enough money to learn how to.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably for the best that we don't know more about gambling. But anytime someone talks about gambling and they really know what they're talking about, they sound so knowledgeable about sports. And like,
that's the trick for everything, though. Like, I feel like if you're inside, I imagine there's some gamblers who listen to the people talk about gambling and think they don't know anything about it. Yeah. Because I know that's how I feel when I hear, like, when I go to my son's flag football games and I hear the dads on the sideline. And a lot of the dads, he plays on two teams now. And one of the teams that he's on, the dads don't know that I play football.
Yeah.
So they, like, on the side are, like, complaining about the coaching. And I'm like, you have no idea what the you're talking about.
They're trying to tell you about like cover two beaters.
Yeah,
and
they're
stuff.
Trying to tell me like, man, why don't the coach just do this? Why don't the coach just do that? And I'm just like, I don't know, man. I just shrug my shoulders. Like,
The thing that I get, which I'm sure you get all the time, is there's, first of all, if you work in sports, you're just a hero to dudes everywhere. But I was at a wedding this past weekend and you're like, hey, I'm like work on shows at ESPN. Immediately they float. They like soft launch a topic.
A take.
What do you think about that Daniel Jones contract? I don't know. A good year. Whatever.
I know. As soon as that is, it's just a setup for them to give me their horrible take.
Their horrible take, but also whatever you say, they're going to come in like they are the Stephen A of it and tell you exactly how wrong you are. They launch their own, 24-hour sports network and you're... Honestly, you are on defense for the rest of the night.
All right. The reason why I asked the question was because the odds are very different now than they were before the finals. And before the finals, there were five.
For the playoffs.
Finals. Yeah. Before the playoffs, there were five teams ahead of them and one team tied with them, right? For the odds to win the championship. Those teams are Bucks, Celtics, Suns, Warriors, 76ers, and the Lakers were the tie team. So I think we should use this show to look at a bunch of those teams because their future looks a lot different now. And we should kind of decide what they should or shouldn't do. So like for those teams like the Bucks, the Celtics, the Suns, and to be completely transparent, we're taping this on Wednesday morning. So the games may change the way that we talk about some of these teams, but I doubt it because we don't think nearly as highly of particularly the Bucks, but any of these teams. But I want to start with the Warriors because I think they're the most interesting.
Hands down.
Yeah, and they're down 3-1.
Yeah.
They've won four titles. They were trying to build while also succeeding, which I mocked. And they still snuck a title out. And I almost was close to apologizing, but I realized that no, this was not winning while building. They actually failed to continue to build because they're at a crossroads right now. A big question mark that it feels like most people in NBA circles know the answer to is, will Bob Myers, their general manager, be back?
Right.
It feels like the answer is definitively know.
Right.
Which gives the Warriors an out, I guess, to blow this all up. But the problem with blowing it all up is you still have Steph. And Steph is still good enough, if you get the right pieces around him, to succeed.
So, blowing it up, you can't do it. You can't do it because I think one of the things we learned in this postseason more than anything is that Steph Curry is still one of the two best players in the world, right? With Jokic. Like, he, on a game-by-game basis, you have a better chance of winning the title with him as your best player than pretty much anyone. And that's so precious. And he's 35 years old. And yeah, he works really hard to get his shots and keep his body the right way. But the way he scores the basketball seems like it's going to be repeatable for the next 3 to 5 years. And everything else has to be on the table.
So yeah.
Everything.
Okay.
Everything.
That's, you beat me to it. The next questions, I think, are about Klay and Draymond. And so this is one of the interesting things, and this, I guess, ties in some to the point about JJ Redick's interpersonal skills.
Yeah.
Is being a general, and I've had this argument with you before, being a general manager in the NBA is not like being a general manager in other sports. Football, like the most popular sport. Because in football, you are really kind of a little bit closer to a fantasy football gym, sure, where the players are interchangeable. How they feel about that, how they feel about these moves doesn't matter. In the NBA, if you have one of 15 to 20 stars and maybe more, it might even be it whoever the best player is on your team. If you have a piece that is worth building around, their opinion matters.
Right.
And I find while we're going to talk about all the moves that can be made and we're going to talk about the strategy that can be taken, the most important thing, and I learned this, I've mentioned this to you before, I learned this when I was working at the NBA Players Association, that one of the most important things about managing, and probably the most important thing about managing,
yeah,
is relationships.
Right.
It's building those relationships. And I made the mistake of thinking that the most important thing was like to be fully prepared and fully informed and fully thought out of every particular potential externality, and like coming in the meeting with 3 full binders of information, and no matter what question they asked, I'd already thought of the answer to the question. And I realized that people are not as impressed by that in executing, and to make a sports tie-in, executing the game plans is the most important thing.
Right.
The way to get people to execute a game plan is for them to buy in and believe it. The way to get them to buy in and believe it is to allow them to be a part of the building process. I say all that to say, whoever takes over for Bob Myers, your number one job is not building around Steph Curry, is collaborating with Steph Curry in the build out, or also convincing Steph Curry or allowing Steph Curry to come to the belief that you have. Because I think the two big questions is Klay and Draymond. He's emotionally tied to both of those players. Right. And I'm assuming that you think that they're going to have to move on from one or both of them in order to make a real championship run.
I mean, it's tough because, yeah, they probably do. But one of the things that's great about Steph Curry is he doesn't meddle the way other NBA players are. I mean, I know he gave the sign off in 2016 to sign Durant after Draymond cried to him in the parking lot because they got smoked by LeBron and then robbed us of 2 years of great NBA finals. But I digress.
That's fair. But we are not here for, well, I was going to say we're not here for Draymond bashing, but we might get some views up we start a podcast beef with Draymond's podcast.
Here's the thing about, like, Draymond's not the person I would necessarily move on to. I think he's the one he's most likely going to be the one that moves.
He has a player option.
He has a player option, $27
Klay Thompson
million.
Has one more year under contract.
$43 million.
Where he, before you have to pay him a big deal.
I wish I had like a more salient opinion on what they should do, because if you had asked me 2 months ago about Klay Thompson when he was having the hottest shooting streak of his career, when he was averaging 26 a game on 46% shooting from three, I'd be like, no, like, can run this back. This is Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry. But like, we shouldn't even.
So how do you know that this is not the blip? That this, because, you know, before the playoffs started, I was down on Klay Thompson, even though he was playing really well. And so I'm confused at why you just let this particular run get you off of the Klay Thompson believers train.
Well, I think there's a much better chance that he will be on the team next year than Draymond Green. It just seems like,
Well, yeah,
seems
I guess,
like,
yeah.
One, he's such an easy fit with anyone. He can be there. And two, this season has been derailed by Draymond Green and Jordan Poole. Like, if we're going to be completely honest, which sounds crazy because Draymond has probably been their second best player in this postseason run, with Wiggins being a little bit up and down, Klay being up and down. I mean, Klay's had some great games. The game they won against the Lakers, Klay hit like 8 threes. You can see what happens when there's a second spacer with Stephen Curry. They're pretty much unstoppable with that, you know, 1-5 Draymond, Steph pick and roll, someone in the corner, Klay on the wing. It's always, you put the defense in rotation. But they have Jordan Poole. They signed him for $128 million. He is an NBA minimum player. Whether he was always going to be an NBA minimum player because he was getting worse in last year's postseason before they re-signed him, or the irrational confidence guy is less confident after the team leader punches him in the face,
like starting with Golden State because it is just a great way to remind everybody that all my basketball takes aren't trash.
Yeah.
Because the Jordan Poole, I was all over that. That was a bad deal. I told you it last year during the playoffs. I told you during the offseason, and they didn't even have to sign to him. And now it's proven out to potentially, if they can't move him, he could be the salary that causes them to have to break up the big three.
Yeah.
And so the reason why the Steph Curry thing matters to me, and when you have a player like Steph Curry, you keep him around forever. Yeah. And you probably will pay him more than he's worth past the time that he's worth it, which is fine when you have one like that.
Yeah.
They got three like that.
Yeah.
And you can't be competitive if you're paying.
And let's be clear. Draymond is only worth it to them.
Yes.
To paying.
Yes.
That is a huge part of it. I do not know how he fits with another team that doesn't have the spacing that the Warriors have. We've seen their offense be worse when they don't have the spacing that they had in the early runs of it.
It's not only his style of play, it's also his personality. I think that his personality might be tougher to deal with in a situation where they are not perennial championship contenders. So I'm not sure. I think Portland comes up as a potential place because you feel like Dame commands a level of respect, and also Dame's style of play is, or at least his talents are similar to Steph, and they have other kind of shooters that he could fit in there.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, people have talked about Dallas too.
No, not Dallas.
I mean, maybe Luka needs to get a little punch in the face.
Yeah, I don't think that Luka will respond well to that personally. He might need it, but he wouldn't respond well to it. The Curry, and so the only reason why I brought up the Curry thing about being able to collaborate with him is because you say that he doesn't meddle, but he's going to have to sign off on any big moves.
That's ding, ding,
and
ding.
And that's the thing. And the personal relationship that he has with Klay and Draymond, I'm not going to pretend to say that I know it or understand it, but my guess is that through four championships that they've built some sort of bond. Right. And I know from being on teams that there's always a division in your team between the players and the coaches. Sometimes that division can get erased, which is nice, but there's a division between that group and the management, the front office and the owners. There is a us and them dynamic, and I feel like Steph is one of us, and they're going to expect Steph to be one of us.
Yeah.
And it's not even only just like to be friendly with them. There are people that he trusts and he's relied on. So do you think, I guess the final point of this question, or two questions, I think, is do you think that they can be competitive if they pay both Draymond and Klay big contracts going forward?
I mean, yeah, they can be competitive. They can
championship competitive.
Yeah, they can get lucky and have Steph going on an all-time hot streak and things be wide open. But here's the thing, is like why I think Steph will capitulate to what the front office wants and sign off on these moves is a couple years ago, we had wrist injuries, we had tailbone injuries, we had knee injuries, we had shoulder injuries. We thought we were going to be careening towards the end of Steph Curry. We thought he might never have another championship after Durant. Like, something has been proved in this postseason that's very obvious, that it's like the 2018 LeBron thing, that this guy has reached a level where actually significant greatness is on the table. Like, top five player like, not even just saying this, like, this stuff matters. Like, we talk about players getting faded away in history as new generations come in. Curry is like a generationally beloved player who can have like a Brady-like final chapter and continue to win because of how great he is. And if he doesn't realize that or care about that in a certain way.
Yeah, like, so I think if he realizes and cares, I think you are assuming that he believes the only way or the best way to do it is without Draymond and Clay. And you're also assuming that he would, if yes. he believed that that was the best way, that he would care about that more than he cares about doing right by them or doing what he thinks is right by them.
Yeah, that's a very good question. And the reason is like, he knows. He knows they could be better with more malleable wings around him.
You think he knows?
After the way that the Lakers have guarded him this series and disrespected every other player on his team, and the Lakers are a really interesting matchup for them because they have Davis, and even when they put him in action, now the Lakers, whatever. You're not beating us, Steph. You can take 30 shots. We're going to make all of them hard. And yeah, he has to know after that. Yeah,
I guess. I mean, he also could just be fine with this, with like this team being reasonably competitive and fading into the annals, making a run here or there, getting to a couple more conference finals and coming up short, and then getting another contract, getting a Kobe contract at the end, where he gets one more contract where he's just not good, but he earns it and he deserves it.
He's got like $1 billion from Under Armour and this like combined, like the financial aspect for him. I mean, obviously no one's going to turn out more money, but like what's on the table for him is like what we don't want to talk about, which is like him being the defining player of a generation that had LeBron James in it. That's what's
not
on the table.
That's not on the table. You know, sure. It's absolutely
the hay
not
is
on
not
the
in the barn though. He's like,
I barned that hay a long time ago.
What if he wins three more titles?
Okay. The hay has, I have to unlock the barn. Yeah. He wins three more titles with the roster that he has
exactly.
now. Then we have to find the key to the barn. But, I don't know. Is there anything before we move on? I want to do the Celtics next, but is there any move that a fantasy move that you could come up with that could potentially, because it's hard to talk about they should move on from Clay and Draymond mm-hmm. without talking about what they're replacing it for, because moving on just for the sake of moving on, like there may not be greener pastures.
Well, they're sort of limited by the pool thing, but the one that's sitting there that is going to be like the name that's talked about for a lot of people who needs like...
I know what you're going to say because I say it all the time.
Yeah, it's Karl Anthony Towns. And he'd be the perfect warrior because he can space and he'd be like... he would call himself Splash Mountain. He would take that name. He would take it from Brook Lopez.
It'd be perfect.
But like, I don't know if they have the capital to get that.
Cat is one of those guys that you look at from a distance. It's like the... It's the toolsy quarterback.
Yeah.
Cat is a toolsy quarterback. You look at it and like,
Kyle Bowler.
They using him wrong.
Yeah.
Like you see all the ability that he has. And from a like offensive shooting, like I'm watching the 76ers seemingly dismantle one of the better constructed defensive teams in the Celtics in the playoffs. All because Joel Embiid, well, not all because, but a major part of it is because Joel Embiid has range. And that is the big key for Cat. That's like his big attribute, is he has range. Of course, he doesn't play defense like Embiid. He's not the athlete Embiid is. So I'm not saying he's
not
like Joel
player.
Embiid.
Does not play with force.
Yeah.
Ever.
But can you imagine a 1-5 pick and roll instead of Draymond is Karl Anthony Towns? Now you're taking L's on the other end defensively, but he's pick and pop with Karl-Anthony Towns and shooters, real shooters in each corner. Like that's...
See, I don't think that Draymond's like replaceable in the pick and roll. Like
because he's a decision maker.
He's like an all-time great passing forward. And
so,
like
I get that. And I see the passes that he makes. And I don't for 1 second want to degrade the value that Draymond has to the team. He has a tremendous amount of value to that team. And I believe it offensively. But I do also think that a lot of the passes that we get all excited about, it's like a play that they run a lot.
It's
that,
4-on-3 fast break.
Yeah. And the decision is pretty obvious. I'm going to give you the ball. If they double me, I'll give you the ball. You're unguarded at the top of the key. Drive to the basket. If someone comes over to help, throw it in the direction that the helper came from. If they do not help, try to dunk the ball. So, like, I think Cat can handle that. But, I mean, that's a whole other conversation.
Well, that's also, like, if you get Cat, you're talking about getting an all-NBA center. Like, the other things that are interesting is, like, can you pilfer the Hawks or the Raptors? I mean, or a team that doesn't want to win in the short term? I mean, like, you can actually look at the other side of how the Lakers are. And, like, part of it is, if you look at the Lakers situation, if you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James even remotely healthy, LeBron with 1.5 feet and Anthony Davis upright for this period, if you put competent role players around them, can you build a winning team? And the answer is undoubtedly yes. The question is Steph Curry alone enough that if you move around the edges of the roster, assuming you're going to keep Looney and Wiggins, one of Klay and Draymond, like, can you pilfer a Gary Trent from Toronto? Something like that. I mean, obviously Siakam is another person who's been bantered about, who, like, if Siakam was the Draymond replacement, you know what? I think Bob Myers might not leave and he would do that in a cocaine heartbeat, because you're just getting younger, taller, and another guy who can play center and pass the ball. But, you know, that's almost in actuality what I think is the most appealing. It's not panicking at the fact that you're losing to a gigantic Lakers team that is healthy for the first time in 3 years. But that's also, that requires a more deft touch. That's not like anyone can trade for Karl Anthony Towns. Anyone knows it's the right idea to add a 7-foot 3-point threat next to Stephen Curry.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's the right idea, but because, I mean, for what it's worth, there is some emotional value that Draymond brings to the team.
Oh, you don't think it would be emotionally good to replace Draymond with Karl Anthony Towns?
I think that it would be, it might be a little more placid environment, which may not be for the best. As much as we don't appreciate Jordan Poole getting punched in the face, we appreciate the fire of a 6'6 guy being able to, like, credibly defend,
oh yeah,
Anthony Davis, which, like, Karl Anthony Towns,
Jokic last year in the postseason.
Yeah, Karl Anthony Towns, he ain't gonna do that. And it's not because he's not big enough to do so. Like, this is going to be an extended episode, or we're going to have to spread them out or something, because that was too fun to move on from. The Celtics is the next team, and you already started that one a little bit. The Celtics is the next team that I think is the most interesting. We don't know the outcome of the series yet. There's maybe one or two more games left in that series.
Pablo, if you're listening, oh, our old gosh. Buddy Pablo Torre, yeah. Don't count your chickens before they hatch, buddy. You still got Doc Rivers as your coach.
Yeah, he's counting them chickens. He's a chicken counter.
He has already counted the fact that he's in the conference finals for the first time. Congrats to Joel Embiid for being a game away from the conference finals. But I mean, look,
Doc Rivers is blowing a bunch of big leads, so it's possible. But anyway,
it doesn't change the fact that the Celtics still look like,
right,
you know.
That's exactly. That's the point I was
going to
make.
Butter in the sun.
Yeah.
Puppy shit.
Oh God.
Soft.
Oh God. So the idea that they're gonna have to do something else. So they've been really good and really competitive, and they've been on the verge for a while. And we're
Six
always
years.
Like, yeah, just one more year and they're gonna mature. And last year was supposed to be the year.
And
that was supposed to be it, where they just got to the finals and they looked better than everyone else. This season, similar things have happened, but the major difference is the coach is out. And they have Joe Mazzulla, who, like, the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to fire Joe Mazzulla.
You think
so? Yeah, I think they. Do you think that Brad Stevens just trusts his decision and he sticks by it, and they build around it?
There is the Brad Stevens question of if he'll come down and coach the team, because, like, he was, even when he left, he's still one of the five best coaches in the NBA. He just wasn't connecting the same way. I mean, Mazzulla's 34 years old. I don't put this like 100% on the coach. Obviously, they lost Udoka, who's now in Houston, and if James Harden is in Houston with Ime Udoka, I think that there could be a stimulus package for the nightlife scene next season.
I'm not saying that it's all Mazzulla's fault. I'm saying what's going to happen this offseason is that Joe Mazzulla is going to get fired.
Thank you for pivoting us back to Boston.
Yeah, I appreciate the joke. Lots of people laugh at it, but let's get back to the basketball.
Okay,
I liked it.
I just think that, like, honestly,
do you think he won't get fired? You think they'll stick?
No. He could easily get fired. I just don't, like, I don't know if it's, I don't think it's his fault.
That's not the point.
Yeah. Well, they put a lot of faith in him. He's a 34-year-old head coach. He's the youngest coach in the NBA. If Brad Stevens and Wick Grosbeck think that he's a great coach and can grow into the job, like, we've seen young coaches stick around slightly longer in the NBA.
Well, that's a bad hire. If you hired a person that can, this is, again, I hate to lean on my football knowledge, but if you have a win now roster, you get a win now coach, a win now quarterback. They have a win now roster.
They did not plan to hire this coach.
That's not the point. They had to hire somebody. There were coaches with experience out there. They wanted to keep it in-house.
They could have hired J.J. Redick.
They could have hired J.J. Redick. They lost their, like, number one assistant to Utah, right?
And so, awesome coach. Yeah,
they're deep on their coaching roster. Like, my point is, you have a roster that is ready to win. Yeah. Get Jeff Van Gundy. Not that he's won a championship, but I mean, somebody with some experience. I guess that's my point. And it's not that there are plenty of good basketball coaches out there. Yeah. And I'm saying that if they hired him because they wanted him to grow into a job, that was a mistake.
That's fair.
And if he is growing into the job, then we can't wait for you.
Well,
whether it's all his fault or not, it's hard to argue that he has not had errors in this postseason that are worth being critical of, just got fired after winning a championship. So I'm confused why you seem to think that Joe Mazzulla's job is safe.
Well, it's not that I think he's safe. I just don't think, like, you know, basketball coaching, you can really choose your own adventure with how you look at these guys. And the fit with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, like, these guys have been anointed the next superstar duo for a long time. And last year, it seemed like they went over the hump by making it to the finals. But if Jason Tatum is presumably on the level of Luka Doncic and Devin Booker, you don't expect him to perform the way he did in the postseason, regardless of who's coaching him.
That's fair. He's been bad last couple games, at least the start of the last couple games.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown is probably the most limited all NBA player that's going to make one of these teams as a guard forward. It's like, it's not even underrated the fact that he is an unwilling passer and a not great ball handler. Like, the highlight from game 5 of that Celtics Sixers series that will be on the championship DVD is Joel Embiid chasing down Jaylen Brown. That happened because Jaylen Brown couldn't keep his dribble past half court, where he fumbled the ball and then had to, like, part of me, it's like the fit with Marcus Smart, who is aging out of being...
They brought Brogdon in to address that, and he hasn't been the solution.
And they traded a first-round pick and salary filler for Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah.
Like,
no, but I'm saying that he hasn't been the solution. No matter how much capital they expended, they haven't gotten an answer to their problem. They're worse this year than they were last year, it feels like.
Here's a question. Whose window do you think is closer to closing right now with the group they have? The Celtics or the Warriors?
The Warriors.
I think the Celtics. I think the Celtics. I don't think
because they're gonna have to pay Jaylen Brown a max deal, and then that.
Oh, I just don't think they. I just think that, like, their star core, I have less faith in winning over the next 3 years than the Golden State Warriors. Like, I have less faith in Steph Curry plus whatever than Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart.
You just proved that you answered the question wrong. Like, you asked whose window is going to close sooner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you believe
19-year-old Jason Tatum or 35-year-old
right. You're
Steph
saying
Curry.
That you believe that their window is more concentrated, but it's going to close sooner. So, like, I understand you might take their window over that one. But anyway, the real question here is, do they move on from Jaylen Brown, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the
Jaylen Brown and or Marcus Smart.
I don't know. I think the Marcus Smart question is a different question altogether. I think that Marcus Smart can stay if they find an answer to the Jaylen Brown question.
Mm-hmm.
As Marcus Smart becomes an issue because Jaylen Brown is an issue. Because Jaylen Brown can't handle the ball. Marcus Smart ends up with the ball in his hand in key situations. I guess you could blame Tatum for that also. But that seems to be a lot of the issue to me is, like, I guess it depends on who you get or what you do for Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. And I have options. Would you trade Jaylen Brown, who is likely going to make All-NBA this year, for DeAndre Hunter and DeJounte Murray?
Okay. That's why you said the Marcus Smart issue, because that doesn't solve the Marcus Smart issue.
Sure it does. Absolutely it does. DeJounte Murray is an excellent defender, and he's 6'5" and switchable. He is on the floor in crunch time instead of Marcus Smart.
Agreed, but he's on the floor in place of Jaylen Brown. Marcus Smart is...
Hunter's playing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess that what I mean offensively...
And by the way, those numbers actually work salary-wise. It matches perfectly, almost dollar for dollar.
All right. Well, I think...
Who says no to that deal? Knowing Atlanta has too many guys, and granted they traded 3 first-round picks for DeJounte Murray, but I think they would have traded 3 first-round picks for Jaylen Brown over this last summer, too.
Yeah. DeJounte Murray is going to be the... So then you have 2 players to fill in for Jaylen Brown, is essentially what you're thinking. These 2 are going to replace Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, but mostly Jaylen Brown. It's like you're going to get his defensive prowess from one player, his offensive ability from the other.
Sort of from both of them. They're both two-way guys. I mean, DeAndre Hunter is sort of like...
DeAndre Hunter?
Yeah, he scores 15 a game. He's a streaky shooter. I mean, he's
I guess that's
he's like the poorest man's version of Jaylen Brown.
I haven't watched a lot of Hawks, to be fair, but those feel like counting stats because I don't feel like...
Oh, he won't be there when it matters.
That's the point.
He'll be Harrison Barnes-ing.
That's the point I'm making. And I know you know more. You watch more basketball than I do, so I was a little nervous about coming at you, but it feels like I'm right.
Oh, yeah.
That you are not actually solving the problem that you want to solve.
Well, the biggest thing that I would like to see with the Celtics team is... playing like, and I guess I'm not even sure DeJounte Murray totally fixes this, but like a real point guard with Jason Tatum.
Wasn't that supposed to be what Brogdon was?
Yeah, but Brogdon's 30 years old. He's had a shattered foot, and when he can play and be healthy, he's awesome. But I think that's exactly, I mean, Brogdon's a much better shooter than DeJounte Murray ever was. But having someone who can like effectively run the pick and roll, be a two-way player in their prime and distribute the basketball, like, I hate to, you know, bring it back to the Warriors, the Lakers, all these series, but when there are multiple ball handlers on a team that are really comfortable with the ball, that's when you get to crunch time and all these different guys score. And the Celtics, to me, their offense always has seemed laborious down the stretch of games because they don't have a, you know, really calm it down ball handler, passer, and distributor. Like, I can't think of other than Al Horford, an above average passer that's been like on their roster who plays crunch time minutes.
I was just thinking about how the Lakers, this is the first team to be built around LeBron that is not just 3-and-D guys, but then it hit me while I was thinking of that. This team is not built around LeBron. Like, it's built around AD, and that's why you have a bunch of, like, ball handlers, because a traditional LeBron team, you don't need a bunch of ball handlers because you know who's handling the ball? LeBron.
Yeah, and, I mean, that Lakers team also just got incredibly lucky with that Westbrook trade.
Yeah, that was
like, if they win the title, I think we might look back on that as one of the like the most fascinating trades in NBA history.
And nobody's given Le GM the credit he deserves. Y'all all hated on LeBron when he brought Westbrook in and tried to absolve Pelinka, but now Pelinka gets all the credit for this deal.
It's hilarious.
No one's blaming the GM for this one.
Le genius.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DF.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So here's another one. I want to know what you think about this one. I think the salaries would work here. Would you trade Jaylen Brown for Zion Williamson?
Hell yeah. If I'm the Celtics.
And you saw Zion Williamson show up to the play-in tournament, doing little windmills.
100%. I already said hell yeah. You don't got to sell it anymore.
He's played 90 games.
Hell yeah. Jaylen Brown for Zion Williamson.
Like, would you do if you're the Pelicans also on the other side? You have a nice roster. You have Brandon Ingram who would actually fit better with Jaylen Brown.
And Brandon Ingram is like Jason Tatum, but...
better ball handling passer. Worst player.
From a style... Yeah, he's a worse player, but he's better at all these other things. But I got you. From a style standpoint, it feels like he's moving down there. So if you have... I guess what confuses me is why you would think it's a bad connection in Boston, but a good connection for the Pelicans. Because if I'm the Pelicans, I'm not trading Zion. It takes much more than a fringe All-NBA player for me to trade Zion. Like trading Zion, who has the potential to be a franchise centerpiece, I'm not moving him unless I think what I'm getting back wins me a championship. Like I think about it for Kevin Durant. I mean, like when Kevin Durant, you remember when Kevin Durant was available and everyone was talking Zion?
People were talking Ingram too.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't send them both, but I'd entertain that.
Ingram.
Oh, like I'd entertain that conversation for Kevin Durant. Or if there was, I don't know, some collection of role players that I thought would put me over the top. Not for a guy who I don't think does that.
A 26-year-old All-NBA wing who would fit perfectly next to your other All-NBA wing.
Yeah, you're doing great blind resuming, but I know who the All-NBA wing is we're talking about, and I know the limitations of this particular All-NBA wing. And so it's a great trade if Zion never gets healthy.
Well, that's
a terrible trade. No matter what happens, it's a terrible trade if Zion gets
better. This is why it's impossible to talk about trading Zion and why I continue. It's like... no matter what, one of the teams is getting ripped off. Like the worst fantasy owner in your league trades. Like if Zion never gets healthy, the team that trades for him is ripped off and is disappointed because he's an All-NBA player. Maybe the third best offensive player in the league when he is healthy.
And
if he does get healthy, the Pelicans are ripped off. But the Pelicans, from their perspective, I don't know if they would ever get, if they're going to get a return right now for Zion. And this is, I guess, why you can't trade him. I don't know if you'd get a better return than Jaylen Brown because... the team was a one seed when Zion was healthy. Brandon Ingram is much more effective when he's a lead ball handler. That does not happen with Point Zion when he's playing. So it's like,
Point Zion was a thing, but that may not be the best way to operate the offense.
Like, well, it's certainly not the best way to fit them together.
He hasn't played long enough for them to figure it out. But best case scenario from a talent standpoint, if they don't match, you have to get rid of one. It ain't Zion.
Yeah, but Ingram is like. The thing about Ingram is like I can't think of someone who's actually more underrated at this point because he just goes out there and scores 25 a game in like multiple years. He's 24 years old. You have Trey Murphy, you have Herb Jones, you have Jaylen Brown, you have Ingram, you have CJ McCollum, you've got you probably aren't winning the title, but you are probably a top four seed in the West if you flip Zion Williamson for Jaylen Brown and you're in the dance every year.
It does feel more and more like the NFL where it's just like you just want to get into playoffs.
Yeah.
And you might be able to figure some things out.
Also, like at a certain point, if you're New Orleans, aren't you just like, this is never going to work with us with Zion Williamson here?
We're not at that point. We're not.
When you have players, you as a former player in the locker room. like CJ McCollum basically going out there being like, yeah, we all know what the problem is. And the insinuation is that Zion's not in shape and not taking it seriously enough. And, you know, he's not a child anymore.
Back to the
way. Sorry, back to the Celtics.
No, not back to the Celtics. Back to the way that I originally opened this.
Yeah.
Is that interpersonal stuff matters.
Yes.
When you're managing. Because I don't know how Zion feels, but I know that, or what's going on there, but it does feel like there is some...
I'm laughing because are we taking it all the way back to the bubble when David Griffin was playing the piano for him in his hotel room in Disney World? Are we going all the way back to
the dinner right. person? You serenade him if you got to. If that becomes a job requirement, you better get some piano lessons. It's the NBA is weird that way, where the most powerful, the most influential assets, not just to your team, but to your whole league, are superstars. Like LeBron has been the most valuable asset for the entire league. Everybody's made more money because he's been somewhat happy and treated well. Zion has the potential to be that player also. So when it's all collected into one huge body, yes, it matters how they feel. It's like you want to think about players as capital. A lot of people want to think about players as assets and capital. But imagine that the most important asset you had, the machine that makes all the widgets that you sell, imagine that that machine was finicky and broken. You would bring somebody in to fix it. So that's the point that I'm making is that they need to figure out how to fix it. You got to figure out what that machine wants.
I'm trading him. He can be next to Jason Tatum. They'll make beautiful music. I would love to see them play together.
That'd be great.
Zion. And it's just what I want to see.
I feel like Zion wouldn't look good in the Celtics jersey. I don't know why.
You think he'd look like when Shaq got in the Celtics jersey and that the white with the green piping just looked real wide? Maybe just give him number 36, unretire it for take it back from Shaq.
I never valued the old Celtics jerseys until we have to see these newfangled ones.
I love the Celtics jerseys, the old ones.
Yeah.
The old ones, yeah. They're amazing.
They're just the classic ones, and maybe this is just because we're old now. Because I loved new jerseys when I was young. But these new jerseys with the cursive Celtic, and it's like black and gold.
It depends on the team, too, because it's like you never take the Yankees out of pinstripes or like things like that. When teams have good uniforms, you don't need to change them. It's like the Raiders in football or the Cowboys. Like, you don't need to change those uniforms. They rock.
But, I mean, the Cowboys have good uniforms that aren't the traditional Cowboys. Well, I guess they all are variations of the traditional Cowboys uniforms. I was thinking about the 95 ones that were, except those are just like throwbacks, essentially, with the stars on the shoulders.
I love those ones.
Yeah, those are great. Sick. Those 95, what's that 90? I know the 95 49ers jerseys are amongst my favorite, and the 49ers have classic jerseys, but those like shadow lettering.
Those are awesome.
Those are the best. Yeah. And that was the same year that the Cowboys had those star on the shoulder ones that were pretty tight. I don't know how we got here, but I like it.
Yeah, I'm just imagining Zion in that white and green.
So people hate these new Celtics jerseys, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure
people Celtics complain about them all the time.
They're atrocious. I pointed out the other day on Debatable that the Celtic, I never noticed or paid attention to the Celtic smokes a pipe.
Corn cob pipe.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. If it was a cigarette, you think they let him get away with it?
No way. No shot.
I mean, what's in there? You could have meth in there, rocks, coke, all types of stuff in there. I'm going to start a campaign.
If any of the listeners have any stories about people smoking meth out of a corn cob pipe, send those our way and we'll read them on air.
I don't know what you smoke meth out of. I mean, I don't know.
Do you think there's a corn cob pipe meth crossover?
Maybe. I don't know. You get desperate. You get desperate.
Listeners deep in Appalachia are going to send us stuff from this.
I think that this should be my newest cancellation campaign. It's like, I'm going to campaign to get his pipe taken.
Kyrie Irving was actually just anti-big tobacco when he was stomping on Lucky.
I think that he's setting a bad example for our kids. And I am serious about starting this campaign that I want the pipe removed. You think Boston would be happy with me?
Honestly, I cannot wait for you to get put in your cancel culture casket.
I stay in there.
Well, I guess you are. Like, no, in this case, you would be the woke mob that Rogers is pissed off about.
Exactly.
No, so you'd be uncancelable.
I wouldn't be canceled, but I would be like, I stay on the conservative like sites. They always coming for me for something that I said or done. So I think that I'm going to use this to get them to come for me again. I like that as a plan.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do some headline predicting at some point. Like, what is
it's going to be like? So it's going to be something about being woke.
Unlucky.
It's going to be woke, and there's going to like some, well, they'll just use a picture. I was going to say there'd be some other insinuation, but they just use a picture and they'll say, woke ESPN goon Foxworth comes for beloved Lucky.
Lucky the leprechaun.
Just leave. This is awesome. We're doing this. I'm doing
Start
this.
Start the campaign.
I don't know how. I need to re-record this where I'm serious or tweet about it. in a way that's, or write something. I might write a whole piece about how.
Also, if you can tweet us fake headlines about this, along with the corn cob pipe meth crossover, that would be great.
Oh man, we're way off the rails, but
we got one more team.
Only one more,
two more teams.
Yeah, we got the Suns.
Two more teams.
The Suns.
Yeah.
Let's do the Suns. So the Suns, they got KD locked up for two more seasons. Can they build around them? The question with
Booker.
Yeah, him and Booker. Yeah, Booker is better than KD at this point, or at least playing better at this moment on both ends of the floor. Next year, I assume that Chris Paul would be a problem, but he's only has half his contract guaranteed next year,
and then none guaranteed the year after.
Yeah, none. So they could be done with Chris Paul for a cap hit of about $15.5 million, which is manageable. The question is, who would they bring in, and what do they do with DeAndre Ayton? Because it seems that they don't want him.
I don't know who's going to take DeAndre Ayton. Nobody wants him. I mean, first year of a max contract, we have video of Durant and Booker screaming at him in the last game, and Ayton just leaving the huddle and sitting by himself. The Ayton thing's funny because it seems like it's not like they dislike him as a person. He's just like not that useful for them as a basketball player and very restrictive.
He has so many useful skills. I still don't understand why he's not better or why people don't like him more.
He's fine. He's just a boring player.
But he's just a fine, boring player. He has the attributes that are hardest to find in a modern big man, in my view. He may not have some of the attributes that are easy to find, which bothers people, but this is so, when I talked about the beginning of the show, how
you,
I was so...
You used to mean like 7 foot and agile and can jump really high?
Yeah. When at the beginning of the show, when I talked about how I was super right about some of my basketball takes, this is the one that I was very wrong about, because after their first run, I was so high on DeAndre Ayton.
Well, he played the best basketball of his career that run.
And it was just... What I thought at that time was most important for a five was not getting played off the floor. Yeah. The way you get played off the floor is if you can't hold up in the perimeter and switches, and if you are an offensive liability that they don't have to help off on you. He is neither of those things.
He tricked you into thinking he was Jaren Jackson.
No. I'm not saying so. Jaren Jackson,
he's everything that you want DeAndre Ayton to be.
He's, yeah. He is, I guess. But you don't have to be Jaren Jackson. I guess my point was, I knew that height would matter at some point in basketball. Mm-hmm. And even though everyone, at a certain point in the league, everyone's trying to go small. Yeah. The reason why they were going small was because they could not have a big man who could stay on the floor.
Well, so if you're big with skill and lateral ability, of course, it's better than being small.
I guess my point was, the hardest thing at that moment to find was shooting. Just generally shooting is always hard. And a big man who cannot get run off the floor by the Warriors or anybody else's small lineup. He fit that. And he's not aggressive enough, or
he's just not a developed offensive player or defensive player. He's just not. Like, he's like, first of all, his job should be really easy. This we thought about this. It was just going to be screening, sealing, rolling with amazing pick and roll ball handlers. He's just not a developed offensive player. And even in that role, he's not dominant.
Well, he doesn't do that anymore because Chris Paul is not a part of the offense
but
anymore.
Booker and Durant are also amazing pick and roll players.
Yeah, and this is maybe a lapse in my memory, but I remember when I fell in love with DeAndre Ayton, it was in the playoffs when Chris Paul was doing pick and rolls. And Chris Paul at the head of the pick and roll is something different than Devin Booker. I'm trying to think of times.
He's his own economy getting centers paid over the last 20 years.
Good for him. And good for them. I'm trying to think of times in my head in these recent series where they actually ran a pick and roll with the intention of getting him a dunk. Or getting him the ball. So like,
where it's like an easy read for him. Yeah.
It hasn't been the case. But anyway, I mean, it seems clear that they want to get.
Let's stop dancing around it. They're going to have a huge hard time moving DeAndre Ayton. They're not going to get value back. Maybe they flip him for Jordan Poole. Lose.
Yeah, that is.
But the bigger thing is.
You don't think Ayton works in Golden State? You don't think Ayton works anywhere?
No. Ayton Golden State would be the biggest disaster. He'd have to make so many decisions so quickly, and he's not just like. Obviously he's better than James Wiseman.
So
but
you think, you think Looney? You think Looney makes a lot of really good quick decisions?
I think Looney's just better than DeAndre.
Yeah,
he's just a better basketball player. So I guess if you put him on the Suns, he would be better than DeAndre.
That's fair. I'm a sucker for
playing for the Warriors is like playing for Kyle Shanahan, where it's like you better play the fucking system. Yeah.
I think I'm a sucker for, as we established earlier in this, is like the toolsy guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because if you look at Aiden, you run Aiden through a combine.
Those big white quarterbacks.
Oh, my gosh. They're my favorite. I mean, if you run him through a combine and run Looney through a combine,
yeah,
you come out like, man, give me the one who looks older but moves younger.
Yeah. And ironically, the one without two arthritic hips, but still, Looney's just. So we don't have to dance around it. The question with the Suns is, did Kevin Durant actually give them a window? Because he is putting up 30 points a game in the postseason. He is still unstoppable at certain points. He's clearly been the second best player on that team. It clearly hasn't made them an offense so unstoppable that like we thought it was going to be. And he's going to be 35 next season. He's there for two more years at least. And you trade for Kevin Durant to win championships because he's one of the 15 best players of all time.
The only thing about this, so my assessment of this would be you get a window with Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. And so you always do that trade. The problem with that assessment now is it appears that Devin Booker has taken a step, or I wouldn't say a leap, but he's taken a step, a very small step, but an impactful step as far as a player is concerned. He seems like the type of player that is good enough to be the number one player on a championship team.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure he looked like that in previous seasons.
He is one of the 10 top five players in the NBA.
Okay. So the question is, would he have made this leap or this step without KD being there? And if the answer to that is yes, then would you have been better off being more patient and strategically building around him with the Bridges picks that you have and the Bridges and Cam Johnson and those guys than going all in with Durant for this year and next year?
I am going to surprise you with this. I love Mikal Bridges, but I wouldn't panic if I was the Suns. I genuinely think this. Phoenix is a great place for professional athletes. Professional athletes love Phoenix. They have a roster that is so bereft of talent outside of Durant and Booker that, like, all you have to do if you're James Jones is do what you had done before, which is actually put together. And I'm not just going to say, you can just put together a deep team in the offseason. That's fucking stupid to just say you can just do that. But on the smaller scale, you can put other NBA players out there. Yeah. Like,
they'll be better next year than they are this year.
And that's the thing is, and like, that's honestly, if you run it back and you're saying all of the pieces around him are at least competent, I think you aren't in panic mode at all.
Yeah, and I don't think they have very many moves. So we can move on from that. I think how we get to the Bucks.
Still disappointing for the record.
How we get to the Bucks disappointing is debatable if they lose to the team that's going to be the eventual champs that we all believe is much better than them. It's like,
before the series, if we had said that.
That's fair. But now we're watching and we know that they're better than them. So it feels stupid to say now. It's not like when we're watching the Celtics where we're like, no, you're better than them, but you're still losing. Like, the Suns should not win this series. If they force a game seven, then you guys know that and I don't. But congratulations to the Suns.
If they force a game seven, it's also just because, you know, Durant and Booker got so incendiary hot, crazy hot, that it's just two guys scoring 90 points in an NBA game. It's hard to beat that team.
I wanted to get to the Bucks and the Knicks, but I don't know if we got a time for both. But we'll just do the Bucks. And Giannis is ready for next season. I'm sure you saw his tweet, which was like, I don't know, it came across so corny to me. He tweeted out, I'm tired of the disrespect. I'm coming, with a picture of him in the darkness on a bench. And this was in response to not making all defensive team.
Yeah.
Giannis, nobody's disrespected you, fam. Giannis, as we've been talking about you as being the best player in all of basketball for the last 3 years, I don't think you're getting disrespected. So yes, being left off the all defensive team seems foolish, but you're not getting disrespected.
Counterpoint, Joel Embiid was gifted an MVP just because he complained about it for 2 years being disrespected.
Earned an MVP, by the way. You don't really believe that he didn't deserve the MVP.
No, he was great.
Okay, good. I was going to say, you're trying to blow up the show again. Maybe he hasn't been great in the playoffs, but
no, he's incredible.
He has been. When I watch him, it just makes me so sad. Because even though he's playing well, it looks so uncomfortable.
It makes me scared.
This makes me put a hole in the floor. I feel it feels hopeless to me.
Oh, that he'll
ever like be a full season of health and be as good as he can be. So that's like, I think that's the part of me saying. Anyway, back to the Bucks.
Okay.
So they already fired Bud.
Yeah, fired Bud.
They might be hollering at JJ after he gets out of Toronto. Find a new coach. Middleton has a player option that I assume he's going to exercise and become a free agent. Holiday has two more years on his contract, and he said that he plans to retire at the end of his contract. And Brooke Lopez is also a free agent. How do they go about handling all of these decisions going forward? Because Middleton seems to me that whatever he gets, he's going to be overpaid by the end of it.
I think he'd be overpaid immediately.
So you'd move on from Middleton.
It's hard in a vacuum because in the NBA, you always want to keep the asset. Just moving on and like letting him walk.
Well, generally, you want to move on from him in some capacity, whether you want to upgrade, sign him and trade, or you I think let
you
him
want
walk.
To, you want to upgrade the roster rather than keep him. But it's just that might not be an immediate option unless you can be Bob Myers, who somehow is able to turn Durant leaving into D'Angelo Russell into Andrew Wiggins into like, that's not always an immediate thing, but just letting Middleton walk, it's not like you're going to just get cap space to replace him.
So yeah, you can't expect anybody to get something comparable to trading a healthy prime Durant.
Exactly.
For Middleton, or well, I guess they didn't trade Durant, did they?
They signed and traded Durant.
They did. Yeah.
That's how they got the Russell contract, which then flipped to Minnesota for Wiggins in a first round pick, which became, I think it was either Kuminga or what? It was Kuminga. Kuminga and Wiggins.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess they could do the same thing for Middleton, but I don't know that there's a suitor out there that wants Middleton, but I guess that ability, he might be a Boston guy.
Oh, yeah.
He could be a guy that they add to that offense that's comfortable with the ball in those situations.
Good pick and roll player.
Yeah. I don't know how Tatum feels about that, though.
Another 6'7" guy, another 6'7" wing.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. So then the Brooke Lopez question. I guess the real question is, obviously, as it seems to be coming the theme of the show, is your superstar has to be on board with the plan. Giannis has presumably been... it appears that he's more in the Steph Curry mold.
Yeah, he's been super patient.
Of super patient, letting it all work around him. But the Coach Bud hire seemed like something that he was not willing to step in front of. So it.
And he had, knowing in the past, he had tried to step in front of the firing of Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
He tipped him off for it and tried to stop it. Yeah.
And I mean, he was critical as in a very soft way in his post-game press conference of some of the decisions that Bud made. So it seems that Giannis is on board with that. So figuring out what the next move is feels like a Giannis call, or getting Giannis to buy into that call.
You have 2 years to rebuild a championship contender around.
Yeah, it's not Phoenix, as you argued, is a good place for professional athletes. I'm not sure that players feel the same about Milwaukee, but playing with Giannis seems attractive. I don't know who. I mean, I guess Kyle Kuzma is a free agent that is not as good as Chris Middleton, but seems in that mold. See, this is the hard part. This is why you just get stuck overpaying some of the older players, because it's so hard because everyone overpays their players and keeps them. Or not overpays. I don't want to use that terminology because that flies against all the union principles that I stand for. But people don't let their players get out. So
you don't want the assets to leave for nothing. Yeah. I mean, the obvious low-hanging fruit one to me is Lillard. But the problem with that is I don't think they have enough juice to do it, because all of the picks in the Jrue Holiday trade are still going to New Orleans, and they aren't going to have enough stuff unless they're trading like the 2028 and 2030 picks this offseason.
You know what I think is more interesting than what the Bucks would do is what Giannis is going to do.
Yeah. Well, he could leave in 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, it feels like he could leave in 2 years, or, I mean, he doesn't seem like he would ask out, but, and then they could rebuild around whatever they trade Giannis for. But it does not seem, this does not seem as promising as it did last year.
Giannis, go to the Knicks. Can I say it to the camera?
Please, by all means.
Look, just go to the Knicks. It will be awesome. All you have to do, if you win once, you're an all-timer there.
That's not crazy. I mean, I guess that flies against the idea that Leon Rose and William Wesley were supposed to get all Kentucky guys. Kentucky team. Yeah, they were supposed to get a whole Kentucky team. But Giannis, with the pieces that they have in New York that are worth keeping, like Hart and Brunson, and they have a bunch of picks, then they could send all their picks in.
So, like, imagine
anybody else too.
We, for the record, I love that we just made the Knicks and Bucks thing a thing together. But if how do you upgrade from a lumbering power forward that just barrels into the lane and tries to get their points? You turn Julius Randle into Giannis. You can't trade Giannis under any circumstances.
No, there is one circumstance there where you trade Giannis is when he tells you you trade Giannis.
Honestly, like, I don't even know.
You don't know if Giannis, or you don't know if they would do that.
Yeah, I guess trying, like, we've whatever never, if you don't, you just go never, out and almost win the title every year with
we've
him?
We've never seen, I guess Kevin Durant was the first time that we saw a player.
Poor KD had to wait 3 months.
Exactly. So, like, you think that the Bucks would be like, nah. If Giannis is like.
The Lakers did that with Kobe. They're just like, actually, we'll trade for Pau Gasol and not trade you.
Yeah.
They had
an alternative. I don't know what the alternative is. I guess it's a pipe dream to think that it's something that they would do without Giannis forcing it. And it's also unlikely that Giannis is going to force it.
The alternative is him just not falling on a basketball and injuring his back and them beating the Heat in five. Like,
too late.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's two more years. And like, this is, if we learned anything from the Russell Westbrook trade, it's that if you think you have a championship window, but you had a fluke injury, don't panic. Just try and play. Like, if we really thought the Bucks were the best team heading into this postseason, running it back is not the worst thing. It is not the worst thing because you can.
You know what it is the worst thing for? It's the worst thing for a podcast.
Yeah.
Saying, let's just run it back.
Okay, well, we already had the Knicks.
I'm just joking. That is a good spot to end because I think you're probably right. That's a smart move. But I got caught up in all the fun of the show and I was trading Giannis or having Giannis demand a trade to New York. You were doing that.
I thought he was going to go there in 2 years as a free agent. Then you had to demand the trade now.
Oh, wow. Anyway.
Milwaukee's going to hate us more than you're trading as Julius Randle for Giannis.
Oh man, this has been a great show. Again, I appreciate you, Charlie. Thank you, Christina Buswell and Adi Khan and the good folks at Podville Media for hooking us up. All right, see y'all next time.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.